If you don't mind, I swallowed a frog this afternoon, so I sound like a frog. Uh-oh. You know the Antichrist has three spirits coming out of it like frogs? Uh-oh. Let's see, what is that? Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and the mouth of the beast and the mouth of the prophet. Well, if I get a bad right eye, you better start getting nervous. So, okay, Jude. And if you'd back up, go to Hebrews 13. And let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us now as we open up your word, a perfect book. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see maybe some strange things in the Bible. And it might give some answers about some strange things in life. But Lord, help us not to be occupied with these things. Help us to know what you want us to know. And then, Lord, I just pray you'd help us to know what we should do because of the knowledge you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 9. It says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Okay, occupied with the strange doctrine, verse 9. And the reason why you'll find this in Hebrews is because as you get to the end of your Bible, the stranger things occur. Okay, now in Jude, I'll pick up verse 6. The stranger things become the closer we get to the second coming of Christ. And in my mind, the book of Revelation is one of the easiest books in the Bible to teach. It is probably the hardest to believe 50 years ago. Now, with modern technology and with Hollywood is preparing people for the tribulation. They're gearing them up for the New World Order. This has been announced since 1934. Okay, and so you and I are living in a time period where we are actually, if you're alert, we are actually seeing the New World Order coming into fruition. George Bush announced this publicly in 1991. And so these things are strange things, strange doctrines. Weird stuff, Twilight Zone type stuff. Okay, now if a person is totally occupied with these things and tries to make a ministry out of it, they're going to be whacked out of their gourd. You know, they're going to be having to go to deliverance meetings and be delivered themselves. Okay, and so the Bible gives us enough information, I do believe, enough information so that you could know something about the dark world, but yet not be carried about by it. Okay, and Jude verse 6 and 7 is where we're going to run a little bit. I did a little bit of it last week, but I'd like to go in a little more detail, enough detail that the Bible gives. And when you understand these things, you can understand a little bit more about world politics. And you don't get upset and all bent out of shape if a Democrat or Republican, whoever's in office. Because to be quite honest with you, at the national level, I think they have large strings on them that are pulled by somebody higher than them. At the local level, maybe different. At the state level, I think they have smaller strings, but they still have strings. And so a person doesn't get all bent out of shape about who's in office, because there's somebody real else calling the shots. Jude verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate," okay, the Bible says in two places, their first estate, or they are spirits. But left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. We know that to be the white throne judgment. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after, notice, strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, if you make verse 6, Genesis 6, the flood with Genesis 6, the sons of God coming into the daughters of men, or you may want to back it up and go with the flood of Genesis 1-2, but I would say, you know, Genesis 1-6 would be the more logical place. And what was going on in Sodom, Gomorrah, and Admah, and Bozrah, that's the two other cities, is a perverted, satanic, and sensual affair, because you'll see it says giving themselves over to fornication. In the same letter, verse 19, it says, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Now, of course, we got children here, and I'm not going to get in detail about this sensual behavior. But we have symbols in your graveyards where you will see a symbol, a small Washington monument, which is a pagan sensual symbol. Okay, and a lot of these symbols find their ways in high government positions, buildings. So you'll find in America, because America was founded, the main spiritual influence of this country was Christians, as far as the common people go. At the upper echelon, you've got the Illuminati. So you have in America, and I would dare say a guy named Bill Grady wrote a book on American history, and then he turned around and wrote another one, I always forget the title. How Satan Turned America Against God. Okay, and he's got some pretty good stuff in there. Not a whole lot of new stuff for me, because I've been reading some of these things. But what you have in America is you have Christianity coming along and Satanism coming along right beside it, looking similar. Now, we know, as far as our law classes have taught us, what we have in our country is we have the constitutional law and the counterfeit statutory regulations coming right beside it. And an example of that in law is you have what's called a jury trial in federal and Indiana rules. That's Rule 39. And then you have what's known as a trial by jury. That's Rule 38 in both the federal and the state. And people think they're the same thing, but they're not. A jury trial is an advisory jury. A judge can overrule what the jury says. A trial by jury, he cannot. You can demand all you want Rule 38, which I've done on a few occasions, and you ain't going to get it, because they're going to give you the counterfeit. Okay, and so as we see in the church where you have the King James Bible and a counterfeit, several counterfeits right side by side. Okay, and so the same has happened in America. We have the real thing and a counterfeit, you know, and side by side. Now, how evil are these people? How dark deeds they are. If they would show their true colors, you know, people wouldn't vote for these things as a whole, the average society person. And so they have to be clothed in wolves in sheep clothing. Now, how deep and dark deeds are these people involved? Well, Snubb will tell you about some of it from his personal experience, but I would rather not learn from a personal experience. I'd rather read a little bit about it and then see what the Bible says itself about these events. Verse 7, it says, strange flesh. Okay, if you go in America to a place called Area 51, you might find some interesting things. It's my understanding that some of these items there have been now moved up to underground bases in Seattle, But you might find some very interesting things if you can get down in there and come out alive. Because there is mutations going on between aliens and humans and animals. What type of animal in particular are they infatuated with? Well, cattle. Why? Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, God cursed Satan above all the cattle. And that's why we have the infatuation with a holy cow, or a papal bull, or the golden calf. Exodus 32. The reason why is somehow this is associated with the devil's works. And out west, they even have programs where farmers, ranchers have been losing so many cattle that they will be reimbursed by the state because their cattle have been drained of all its blood and looks like a raisin. You see, and this has happened quite often out there. Why? Somebody's messing with the blood. Somebody needs blood. Okay, and for these angels in Genesis chapter 6, which they are clearly angels in the Old Testament, last week we went through some of that. Where in the New Testament, born again believers are the sons of God. In the Old Testament, sons of God are fallen angels. Okay, now they're infatuated with cattle. Okay, one reason why that is, if you would look in Ezekiel 10 verse 14. And Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 7, I'm sorry. Revelation 4, verse 7. There are some beings in the Bible called cherubims. They are not angels. They are different than angels. All angels in the Bible are men. They appear as a young man, 33 years old. Now, cherubims are winged. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 14. Let's read Revelation 4, verse 7 first. And there were four of these. There are five of these originally. One was the anointed one, the special top one, known as Lucifer. And there's four others. Revelation 4, 7. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Okay, now let's try Ezekiel 10, verse 14. And notice one of these beings is switched. Ezekiel 10, 14. And everyone had four faces. The first was the face of a cherub. The second, the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. So you've got three of them perfectly matched, Revelation. One says calf or ox, and the other one says cherub. So that tells us that cherub is old split foot. That's a common saying often said about the devil, old split foot. Why? It's a calf's foot. Okay, and then if you study ancient mythology, some of Greek mythology, it will take this mysterious animal like the god Pan. The god Pan is a split-foot animal, half man, half goat, I think it is. And this god Pan who plays these pan pipes, and if you get, there's a series of books I get in Rensselaer Library, Man, Myth, and Magic. And if you look up the god Pan, it will have Pan sitting there on his pan pipes and a little girl, 9 years old, looking up at him with a sad face. And when you read the lyrics to the Himeric, the glorious hymn of the god Pan, and understand the words that it says, what has happened is he's chased this girl in the woods and raped her. That's the god Pan. That's where Peter Pan has been named after. And a lot of our national or international products have a satanic origin about them. Why? Because the devil's the one who helps these people make money. Ezekiel 28. And so when these people give up some of their service to the devil, he helps them make money. You know, anybody can figure that out as far as rock stars go. When they sell their soul to the devil, they get more fame and fortune. Okay, so these are some weird things in the Bible. Now, a person reads this stuff and they say, that ain't gonna help me in my Christian life. Well, what would you do if you crossed somebody who had some very sad experiences and gone through this? How are you going to help these type of people? There are a lot of people like this. And it's in the Bible for a reason. God put it in there for a reason, so he put it in there so you and I can study it and learn a little bit something about these things. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places." Not only are these beings very political in their mindset because they are very control freaks, they're also very religious in their mindset. Okay, and these are the two things that Satan is infatuated with. Remember, he said to Jesus Christ, "If you bow down and worship me, I will give you the world kingdoms." Politics, if you bow down and worship me, religion. Those are the two areas we're never to discuss, right? Why those two areas? Those are taboo areas because the devil's in control of those. Religion and politics. Okay, now, these beings are rather strange. The devil, we know in his natural state, is Leviathan, Job 41. That is how he naturally looks. Job 41 says 34 verse description of him. He's called the king of the children of pride. Revelation 12 verse 3 says he's a red dragon. Isaiah 27 verse 1, it says that the Lord with a strong sword shall punish Leviathan, that crooked serpent. He shall slay Leviathan that's in the sea. Okay, so we know that's the where the Chinese come up with the famous red dragon. It's a worship of the devil. Okay, and so in many of the pyramids, if you go to some of the pyramids, you will find in these some of these pyramids red snakes or red dragons as a portrayal in there. Somebody wants a sacrifice. Okay, and so this is a part of the strange flesh, and there will be fornication involved. Now, this is what's also associated with what is known as the evil eye. Okay, you see it in the back of the Federal Reserve note, the pyramid with the eye. And if you magnify that eye and look around the eyeball, that's got weird skin on it. It's not human skin. If you look at it closely, it will look like it's a reptile skin. And so you're going to cross reptilians who appear to be human. The devil, yet as Leviathan, appears as an angel of light. They call this transformation. In the world of studies, they call this shape-shifting. Okay, where they can appear in one form and then go to another form. And so what are they getting the children geared up for? Who are the heroes? I don't know who the famous heroes are now, but A couple years back, I knew it was the Ninja Turtles. Getting children used to some green reptilian type being, saving them from the bad guys. They're gearing the children up for these things. Okay, and so this is some prophecy that's going to occur in the tribulation. Is it here on earth now? Probably so. No doubt it is. But it's associated with the evil eye. If you would look in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 15, 16, and 17. 17 in particular, this is about, obviously, the Antichrist, who is very closely connected with Judas Iscariot. Remember the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15 mentioned that her seed, his seed, the serpent's seed, is going to bruise her seed's heel. Her seed is going to crush his seed's head. Well, all the prophecy teachers tell you the her seed is Jesus Christ. But somehow, mysteriously, they don't tell you who his seed is. The devil can have seed? Well, obviously. It says the serpent's seed. And so you have all these strange movies, The Mystery Old Man, The Exorcist, you know, Rosemary's Baby. Okay, and then if you look at Cain, Cain was of that wicked one, a rather strange being. Okay, and so some of these things in the Bible, was that Judas Iscariot? Well, Judas is the only person Jesus Christ called the son of perdition. And the only other occurrence in the Bible, the son of perdition, is used as the Antichrist. It's the only other time, only two occurrences. And the thing about the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 17 says that the Antichrist, which was and is not and will be. He was alive. He was not at the writing, but he's going to come back. So just as you have the second coming of the Lord, you got the second coming of the devil. He counterfeits everything. Now, Zechariah 11:17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock, the sword shall be upon his arm, most likely his right arm. So you're going to find some national leaders that have a bad arm. Hitler did. Okay, Napoleon would stick. Something's wrong there. So he's got a bad arm and upon his right eye. So he's going to have a bad right eye, and his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And this way you have a common saying that he gave a left-handed compliment. Or he's a south paw. Why do they say paw? Why wouldn't it south hand? A paw is a cat's phalange. I don't know what they call it for cats. Okay, but it's a, and it's a cat-holic. Somebody's wholly given over to the cat. But if somebody says they have a bad right eye, they're looking out their left eye, that is known as an evil eye. Okay, and so in the medical world, this is called sinister oculus, a sinister eye coming out the left eye. Okay, what about this eye? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 22. Proverbs 28, verse, I think it's 22 what I'm looking for. Yes. Proverbs 28, 22, mysteriously in the Bible, somebody who is in a hurry to get rich is associated with an evil eye. Proverbs 28, 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Letter U, I thought I had another one. Okay, that takes us to Zechariah. There was another one in Proverbs also. Now, also you'll find an evil eye in Mark 7, verse 21 and 22, where it lists 13 sins. Mark 7, verse 21 to 23. And right in the middle of it, or close in the middle of it, it has an evil eye. An evil eye. Okay, the other reference in Proverbs is Proverbs 23, verse 1 through 8. Sitting down and eating with a rich man, and in this particular instance, this rich man is a ruler. Proverbs 23, verse 6, it says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Now, is that a coincidence? When I was in Vietnam, we went to the very large Buddhist pagoda. It's like a tourist place where people go and watch these Buddhists sit there and go, and all that stuff. And you look down at the end and you'll see a great big globe and the all-seeing eye is in there. This thing is universal throughout the world. And if you turn on CBS and you'll see an eye. You see, and you'll find these secret societies are the ones running the show, but who's running them is the evil eye, or the one with a bad eye, Or in other words, Lucifer himself. You see, and these people are so deceived, they think they're the illumined ones. I saw the light, the Illuminati. Well, yeah, they did see the light, but it was known as the angel of light. You see, and so this is what Jude is implying through here, and you're going to find these other places in the Bible. Now, in Zechariah 5, you have a very interesting and a strange flying object. Zechariah has some weird stuff in it. Zechariah is a book that deals mostly with the second coming. And of course, Zechariah, the scholars are going to give us great help to figure out what this flying roll is. They're going to tell us it's a scroll. Can you imagine a pocket New Testament scroll where you could stick in your pocket that is 30 feet long and 15 feet in diameter? That's the flying roll in Zechariah 5. And besides, for these men to tell you that the scroll, the word of God, is a curse, Zechariah 5, verse 6, and verse 8 says this is wickedness. If you use these men's interpretation or private interpretation, this flying roll, they say it's a scroll, but in the context it says it's a curse and it's wickedness. What a way to deal with the Bible. And in the last word of the chapter, this scroll is landing on a military base in Shinar, which is Babylon. That's more than a scroll as far as I could read. And this scroll has a stork in there, two women with the wings of a stork. And of course, if you study anything about UFOs, you know a little bit about UFOs, people, you know, you'll have the National Star and all those type of goofy newspapers will cite some of these weird things because they don't want anybody to know about these things. But there's obviously some weird stuff going on out there. You know, if you want to investigate yourself, take a boat trip through the Bermuda Triangle. I wouldn't advise it. But we're dealing with what Jude is talking about, strange flesh. And you know it's getting more and more strange now where you're hearing now of people having relations with these weird beings and they think it's great. They're downright nuts. But you see, these beings, what their motive is, what makes these weird beings tick is that they think that if they can continue to get new blood from humans, they can live forever. They believe that when they sacrifice children, the more terror that they can create in that child's heart, just like a cat playing with a mouse, the cat does not sit there and say, "Oh, I feel sorry for this mouse's wife and children. I'm about ready to kill it." No, it's playing with it. And doesn't the Bible say that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? Now, is that figurative or is that literal? There's more in the Bible that gives evidence that that's literal rather than figurative. Because cannibalism's coming back. We have a church that has a leader called a pontiff. And a pontiff is somebody who is able to bridge the gap between the priest, the pons, the gap between the higher intelligence in space and men down here. That's what a pontiff does. And we got a guy in Rome that claims to be the pontiff who has Christianized this speech between the beings and man. I don't know if he's Christianized it, but I no doubt that he's had communication. Why? Because he cannot get in that position by being a faithful Bible teacher. You're dealing with something wicked who has a Washington Monument right in their square. And if you go around the Vatican City, you will see all sorts of pagan symbolism and satanic symbolism all filter through there. And that's probably where Satan's seat is, under the underground tunnels. Where does this idea come from, these tunnels? Look in Revelation chapter 6. You know, it's nice to have a tunnel like this during tornadoes and hurricanes, but it ain't too smart when an earthquake takes place. And when they get down, you see, Atlas Shrugged wrote about these things in 1957, or Ayn Rand wrote about it in 1957 in her book, Atlas Shrugged. That is known as the Insider's Bible. If you get on the internet and type in Atlas Shrugged, you can find the cheap copies, $6, your paperback copies, $6. Ayn Rand was some type of a mystic or spiritualist, somehow had relations with Philippe Rothschilds, somehow associated with Rand McNally. And when you read in her book, you'll find, if you get that on the internet, you'll find they'll have deluxe copies, $100. That's like a Christian taking a family Bible, putting it on their coffee table. And when these insiders buy this deluxe copy, they put it on their coffee table, people come in their house, they see that, we know you're one of ours. You see, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, you have a great earthquake. Revelation 6, verse 12, great earthquake. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. What are they hiding there for? Isn't that some place where somebody in our country runs if we have a bad problem? NORAD? Can withstand nuclear warfare? It ain't going to take an earthquake of this magnitude. They're going to crawl out like worms crawl out, says in Isaiah. And you see, this stuff is some weird things. And what this does for you and I, it shows us that you ought not to be worried and fretting at all about politics. There's no need to fret about those things. God's in control. And in fact, to be quite honest with you, more evil is accomplished against the Constitution when somebody appears to be a conservative in office rather than somebody like a Bill Clinton. Why? When somebody like a Bill Clinton's in office, the conservative eyeballs are wide open. And when somebody who's appearing to be a conservative in office, their eyes are shut. And there has been more unconstitutional regulations passed under Bush than Clinton ever dreamed. Why? It's because the conservatives were awake when Clinton was in office. The John Birchers put a book out right before the second try for George Bush Sr. And this was basically their theory, too. Their idea said that more evil is accomplished when we have a conservative in office or somebody who appears to be a conservative than a liberal in office. And they had a book about George Bush Sr., the John Birchers. And you see, all of that is a facade. In many ways, it's a facade. One of the first law books I read, one of the very first ones, that I think the title of the book was Break the Rules and Win. And it had a little comic in there, and it had two guys boxing. One was a Democrat, one was a Republican. And it had an announcer, a radio announcer, who was announcing the boxing match. And it must have been a radio station that was on the west side of Mississippi, because they start with a K. And the call letters was K-A-R-P, you know, on this radio station. I thought, that kind of fits. And this announcer saying, and it's a stiff upper cut to the right, and it's a jab to the left, and it's a jab to the right. No, the Republicans get them to the right. And the real picture is the one's got a beer, the other one's got a martini, drinking back and forth. But the guy in the media is trying to make it to be a big deal. Them guys are walking hand in hand. It's a game. They get in Washington, D.C., the money flows. And the news media tries to tell Americans who they want in office by the politics. It's all a facade. A lot of it's a facade. Am I saying, you know, not to vote? I'm not saying that at all. I do believe you have a say-so in local elections. Statewide, nationwide, who owns the counting booth? I know there are a lot of people written about this stuff, you know, but still the idea for you and I, if kings in the Old Testament were killing people for power, has things gotten better? It's getting worse, isn't it? When Janet and I was in Switzerland, Nico Verhoef was the missionary we stayed with, and he gave us a tour of the castle that the Disney castle is patterned after. Okay, so we went to the original one. And the guy who had this built, you could tell from his picture, was as queer as a $3 bill. But when you go through that castle, Nico, when you got a Bible-believing Baptist as a host, or a tour guide, he's going to point out all the wickedness. And we found in that castle 666 engraved in many of the bricks. Through that castle, we found inverted crosses in that castle. And if you go in this one major room, there he is in the top right, the fallen cherub. They got a complete statue of a black skinned, that's what they had it as, but was a fallen cherub portraying the devil himself in that thing. Now the guy who had this thing built, I don't know how long it took, but he mysteriously died in the pond back in the back. Being a queer $3 bill, I thought no great loss. But still, this tells you and I, shows you and I that when men get political clout, they have gotten it by worshiping the God of this world. And the God of this world blinds the minds of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And of course, the God of this world is using the news, the media itself, to continue to blind people. They do it on an international or national stage, way through the news media, through the newsprint, through Hollywood. And they do it more detailed, more locally, more precise with soldiers, through trauma-based methods of mind control. This has been going on since World War II, because many of the German officers was transported out of German to underground works through the Vatican into the United States. And this has been going on for years. And what they're trying to create is a superhuman soldier who could kill anybody at any time and just do it this quick. And they're getting it accomplished. They're getting it accomplished. But they always forget. They always forget about God. I can imagine these people with all these satellites, global positioning, and they're watching the cameras, watching everybody, and one earthquake hits. One meteorite hits Star Wars up there, and their screen goes buzzy. That's all that God's got to do. He don't have to do much to take them out. But you see, this is strange flesh. And here's the saddest thing of all, verse 7, is they're wholly given over to fornication. And how many children have been affected by this? You know, the stats are phenomenal if people just knew how many young children have had some terrible experiences because of this, and many of this is through the secret societies. Gene told me about a fellow he knew up in Wisconsin who joined the Masons, the Freemasons. He said this guy was never somebody who was real business-minded, never real good at business. But he joined the Masons, and they told him that if you join our group, then we will make sure that you have a nice car and have a prosperous business. But he said this guy was never really good at a businessman. But they did keep their word. And he was in that group for a few years, and one time they called him up on a Friday and he said, we have a party this weekend we'd like you to come to. It goes from Friday evening to Sunday evening. He said, then we have this party. And he said, oh, good, okay, then I'll go. And he said, I'll tell my wife and everything. And they said, you're not invited. Your wife is. Oh, well, I don't know about this. He said, that's the rules. The wife went for 2 days. He said she was never the same. 2 or 3 years later, he got a phone call. We're going to have a party this weekend. He said, well, I don't think my wife's going to want to go. He said, that's okay. We don't want her. We want you. He goes home, he's kind of concerned about it because his wife was never the same. And she says to him, you're going because I like what we have. And we're not giving it up. And that was the last Gene ever talked to the guy. Why? Because a lot of perversion going on. Wholly given over to fornication. You know, and this is setting the stage up for worldwide religious ceremonies, killing people and eating people in a religious ceremony. The Bible talks about this more than does church membership, baptism, and tithing. I think I have a lot of foot and cross references in Psalms 14, verse 4. Now, we have a church, an international church, who claimed to have a mass occur this morning when they killed Jesus again. And they held him up, my Lord and my God, un domini, he was bread and now he's flesh. And they are pretending to be cannibals. And they are pretending to be vampires. There's going to be a day they won't pretend anymore. Psalms 14, verse 4, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. And right there at the word eat, I got the letter M, and look at all those cross references. Though, and that's not all of them. Those are places where this is what's known as the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation was not when Titus walked in the temple with a pig and sacrificed him in the temple. I mean, that was bad. But it's not the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist tells those Jews, you're going to worship me as God. And that's when the light turns on. And they refused to do that. That 144,000 refused to do that. And 14,400, a tenth of them, will voluntarily stay in Jerusalem knowing that they're going to die. Willingly sacrifice for their Savior. And they will be sacrificed in a sacrifice, in a religious service. And they will be flayed and they will be eaten. And this will be accepted worldwide. The Arabs will have a heyday. The Muslims, oh, they will revel in this. Well, you're saying that's what's set up for the tribulation. Thank God we ain't going to be here for that stuff. But this is what the Bible teaches in many ways. And this, the reason why this is because these evil beings think they can live forever at the expense of somebody else. They're taking the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ and perverting it. Where our God gave himself to die for us at Calvary, where they want somebody else to die for them to live forever. Muhammad wants the Muslim people to sacrifice their children for his cause. The difference between our God is that he allowed his son to sacrifice himself, and that in turn gives us eternal life. Big difference. Okay, big difference between the world's religion and the Lord's religion. And another thing about that idea of fornication, our God, Jesus Christ, was sinless and holy. The Muslims can't say that about their great founder, Muhammad. The Buddhists can't say that about Buddha. You see, and they can't say that about these people. And so that's what sets Christianity off, okay, as something totally unique. Okay, so that's Jude verse 6 and 7. I probably got more stuff in a footnote, so we'll stop there and let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. I pray you'd help us to see this book does expose the dark world. It shines light on the dark world, and as cockroaches, they got to run and hide. They're parasites. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to know how to wrestle properly and scripturally, not against flesh and blood, but against the real enemy, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we know that the weapons of our warfare is the name of Jesus Christ, the pure blood of Christ, and the written word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.